All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Fart Sharara.
Yes!
You got it!
There's a fart in the house! Fart Sharara is present and accounted for with Barry and myself on a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects as we welcome you all into the big show.
You got to do the What Up H-Town. You didn't do it. We cannot go with the show without you.
What up, H-Town? Hey, Fart Sharara, how was boxing?
Normally, we label Michael Carroll as the nicest guy in the Gal Media hallways. I'm never going to say that again.
Man,
never going to say that again.
Shout out to my man Michael Carroll for pulling that off in a day, less than a day.
Just because it was Barry's idea, because I already know it was Barry's idea.
What, you didn't think I did that?
No, I don't think you went right to my sector. No, you're totally capable of doing something that mean.
True.
But I knew it was Barry's idea. Michael Carroll, you're equally as responsible.
I feel bad now because, so yesterday, if you missed the show yesterday, we were talking about Booger McFarland and how it's weird that a grown man are on a broadcast with Booger McFarland and have to refer to him as Booger. And I said it would be a lot like if it was me and Joel and it was Fart Sharara. We had to call him Fart all day. So that's how it happened. And then a Twitter account got created, which was Fart Sharara. And then there was a Shart Sharara. And then someone made a Twitter account, Bad Gas Barry Laminack.
I saw that.
Which is really funny until they started actually pretending they were me.
I saw that too.
A little far. Of course, leave it to our listeners. As awesome as they are, there's always got to be a few idiots that take something too far. I was like, you know what? You can make a parody account, but when you start actually pretending you're me, when somebody, like I asked, I was like, hey, I'm trying to get to 1,000 likes on my Facebook fan page. If you're a fan of mine, go to Facebook and like it for me at Barry is Funny on Facebook. And then he was like, hey, thanks for doing that, guys. You're not me. Stop. You that's too far.
I was
don't
like,
pretend
our
you're me.
Our listeners are good, but sometimes there's that line in the sand,
they just
blast through it.
So now I feel bad because that happened to me, and then here I am. You got Fart Sharara on the intro. So
yeah,
that's my fault. That's too far.
He's already interacting on Twitter.
Who?
Fart Sharara.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just have to let stuff go after the day it's over.
Who is the big gasser behind Fart Sharara? Do we know?
I'm going to assume it's Householder.
Oh, yeah?
It's the same person for all three accounts. I'm going to
Can we rescind the belt if he continues?
No, that's it.
I think the thing to keep in mind. Oh, here, look, I got a Twitter report. First, we need to confirm your identity. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll get
blue check.
Yeah.
How about that?
Look at that. All right.
So cool. I want to hear about boxing. Let's go. What happened? Nick, you survived?
I survived.
Did you have shoes?
The same shoes that I'm wearing right now. Those
you boxed
casual
in boat shoes?
Yep.
He did. He boxed in loafers.
Really?
Yeah.
I stopped by the Marshalls across the street. Bought a cheap Rockets t-shirt and a pair of Skechers shorts.
Okay. All right.
And then I was like, "What?" The line was so long. I'm like, even if I went to go look for a pair of shoes, like, I'm not going to make it for the class.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if it was 5:30 or 5:45, but it was 5:45. I made it like 10 minutes before the class.
Barely, yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun. Totally worth it. Absolutely a clean gym. I'm actually thankful that, you know, we performed in a dark room where very few people can see how...
I told you, right?
How, like, much you can struggle.
Like, people worry. They're like,
in
man...
In 45 minutes.
Because I sit here and I talk about Vortex a lot now, and people are like... Yeah, I don't want to go and have people make fun of me. You can barely, like, it's not that way,
no.
Right? Like, there's so many bags around the room that you kind of, you're almost in your own little area. And so, I mean, I would look over and see Nick, and he wasn't struggling. He was doing just fine. You could see me. I had to rest plenty of times, and this is like my third or fourth week.
So you guys stopped?
There's stoppages, or is it all consistent?
Oh, he doesn't stop. Trey's a beast, man. When you work out,
essentially, it's like almost like doing aerobics on a punching bag or something.
No, it's not like aerobics at all. It's not like aerobics at all.
But I'm saying, you say it doesn't stop, so you just go from one.
It's basically like so when I used to train Muay Thai, you would do pad work, then you'd do bag work, then you'd spar.
Okay.
But it was nonstop, and that's essentially what you're doing here. You are doing some exercises off the bag. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what you start off with, you learn the combination. So you learn all the punches, jab, cross hook, uppercut. He shows you technically how to throw them, right?
Right, yeah. He taught technique. It wasn't just you getting in shape and moving your body.
You learned how to box at a very basic level.
Cool.
And then he's like, all right. And then you do the warm up, which gasses me.
Yep.
I was done.
I was tired after the warm up.
What's the warm up?
It's like
punching.
Yeah, so you shadow box, and then you do, like, lunges, and then you do push-ups, you do mountain climbers, you're doing planks, plank jacks, spiders, spider-ups.
That sounds like enough to already be constituted as a good workout.
It's like 7 to 10 minutes for a warm-up, and you're gassed. And then you start putting together shadow boxing combinations, then you start hitting the bag, and then there's the abs round, and then the burnout.
I'll tell you what,
round.
I'm glad it's 45 minutes, because an extra 15 minutes would have made a massive difference for me.
It's legit, though. It is a legit workout. And it's fun. I mean, you have a good time doing it.
I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, I survived.
How sore are you?
I'm glad you didn't
vomit. Pretty
sore. That was
good. I tried to wake up early, because I remember it was either you or Joel that brought up cardio to help with, you know, being sore.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't wake up and run. But yeah, I'm feeling it.
All upper body. You're feeling your arms and stuff?
Yeah. And my legs.
Yeah.
And my legs.
I'm telling you, it's a full body workout.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun. Of course, the most attractive female in the room was not even struggling at all.
At all. Well, because they live for that.
So they do this burnout round, right? So you do, what do they call it? Steps, I guess. You do 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what we did yesterday, we've never done before. It's every week is something different. Like the combinations that he uses and works on.
The fact that you don't get stuck in the same old routine same thing.
The combo we did last night was jab, double jab, dip, cross, body, head, cross. Like it was like this 6-7 punch combination. Never done that one before, but it's something similar every time. And then normally you'll do like an abs, ab workout, and then you do kind of this burnout workout. And he says, this is where you're really going to get in shape. So the steps we did, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, you did 10 hooks to the body as hard as you could, 10 punches straight up in the air, and then you had to stop and do 10, sit down and do 10 Russian twists. And then you do 20 three. And then you do 30 of the
40
three.
And 50. I didn't get to the 50s.
It'd
be nice if you started with 50 and then you started to go down.
So what did you get to?
40s. The 40s.
Yeah, I had started doing the hooks for the 50, and I look over and this chick. And then when you're done, if you're done before the round is up, you have to get in the plank position and sit there until everybody finishes. So I'm in the hooks at the 50 when it's over. We run out of time, and she's over there planking. I was like, boy, that makes us look so bad.
It was very rewarding in that you got the workout in, but it was also very telling and depressing. Oh my God.
Wow.
I thought about that the entire drive home.
It's great. You guys, I'm not going to be here.
Old and out of shape.
Y'all should go do the spin class Thursday, the ride class. I'm telling you, man, you thought boxing was hard.
Everybody tells me the spin class is
hard. Spin class is hard. Here's the thing I didn't understand either, because even at my gym, they changed this now because it's the hip thing to do. But spin classes now are in the dark with very little light.
Yes, that's how it is.
Yeah, and the music is louder. Yeah. And it's so that I think that a lot of it, too, they said, is because people get self-conscious. And when you don't have to worry about everybody staring at you because it's darker and you're doing things like that, that it can help. But yeah,
it's not just riding a bike. It's a full body workout too. Like you have weights. You're sitting there like you're spinning.
Oh wow!
And then you're punching in the air with hand weights. You're doing like dips on the bike. It's a full body workout.
Very cool. Very cool. That's all at our Vortex. Vortex is the proud sponsor of Barry and the show. So that's good stuff. Always good to hear about that. Good things from good people.
Did you make it to the game?
No.
What happened?
Well, so yes, I did. But no, I didn't get in.
What?
Yeah. So I haul ass leaving here. Because traffic was horrible. So I start taking, you know, back streets and through like River Oaks and trying to get all the way over. I get there I'm listening to the game on the radio. I get there probably start of the second inning.
Okay.
So I jog over to the media entrance and I've got my pass from the divisional series. And the lady's like, hey, good to see you back, blah, blah, blah. She goes, oh, yeah, you got to go to the window and get a new pass. I was like, okay, no problem. She goes, yeah, they issued a new pass for the championship series. I said, okay, cool. So I run around to the gate 28, and here's a lady reading a book, doing absolutely nothing. And I go, hey, I'm just here to pick up my pass so I can get in because the game's already started. And she goes, oh, yeah, honey, this piece of paper. And she shows a piece of notebook paper on the desk. She goes, this is supposed to be on the window, but MLB closed it at 1:30 today. I'm like, I'm sorry? So can you call somebody walkie-talkie somebody so that they can come down here and reopen the box with the passes in it so I get it, so I can get my pass? She goes, oh, no, 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 it's closed.
So they closed giving out
passes at 1:30.
Why would they do that?
No idea. And unlike the NBA, MLB comes in and takes control of everything for the playoffs. So I called I called Jong, and Jong was calling the PR guys. Then I texted Kevin Eschenfelter, Matt Thomas, and Charlie Polillo.
Yeah.
And they were all, they got different people in the Astros PR department, all going, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. So at one point, I had held tight for about 45 minutes. And I'm like, do I leave now?
Yeah.
So I don't miss all of the game. Because traffic, you know, is going to be horrendous.
Uh-huh.
I was like, no. Then Charlie goes, no, hang on, they're working on it. Just hold tight. And John said, yeah, I'm waiting on for one more response. So I waited another half hour only to hear from two different people that said, yeah, sorry. Even Steve from the Astros was emailing me directly going, working on this. And I'm like, okay, cool. And he's like, yeah, unfortunately, MLB controls it and said no exceptions. I'm like, so if you're a camera guy for one of the stations and you just need post-game sound, but you didn't get your pass before you get into the building.
You're
no
screwed.
Way. Right? So when I go back to my days with the Rockets, the NBA doesn't take over till the finals. And even if they did, someone would give you a single game pass with a special sticker on it so that you make exceptions. So I got, not only did I not get in, but then I got caught in traffic on the way home. And I spent most of my night listening to Jessica Mendoza and our man John Shambi call the game because I couldn't see it.
Oh, I would be angry.
I was not happy.
I would be upset.
So getting home, sorry, Lisa, I was not exactly pleasant to be around for a while after that. And then I, of course, got home in time to see the home runs that...
Oh, God, don't even get me started on that. That was horrible.
So we'll get to all that and a whole lot more. And, of course, we'll get to what you have on your mind you want to get off your chest. That's why we have the HR&P listener line. You can call or text that number, 713-780-3776. And that's a direct way to get into the show. You can also tweet us, at FartSharara, at BarryIsFunny, and at PacManJoel with a K. But if you don't want to go to the FartSharara account, then you can also go to at TheProducer. Nick.
Don't use the FartSharara account.
Okay. It's a Wayback Wednesday. So what we did was songs pre-2008 in order of the way we feel the Western Conference and the NBA will finish this year. So it's artists from those cities. I obviously, because you guys didn't do your homework, we'll go first. So therefore, Too Short from Oakland will give you who I think will be the number one seed in the Western Conference. Sorry, Red Nation.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to roll on that as well. Have some fun along the way, but glad to have you along for the ride. We're just getting started, so buckle up and let's go. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Welcome back to a Wayback Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. Pre-2008, songs in the order of the way we think the Western Conference will finish this year. Artists from those cities. I'm going in hour number one, so Too Short was...
So Warriors one.
Warriors one.
Fat Pat.
Rockets two.
From H-Town, so you have the Rockets finishing second.
I do.
In the Western
Not
Conference.
Not the Lakers. No. I'm hearing there's a lot of people out there. Lakers are going to be in the Western Conference. No, they're not, Stephen A. They're not.
Are the Rockets not? Are they going to top or equal or not come close to their win total from last year?
Not even close.
Okay.
I think someone asked me on Twitter this morning, and I would say that in the 54 to 56 range is probably accurate. Okay. I went on the high side to appease Rockets fan and said 56.
Why do you do that? Don't appease them. Tell them what you think.
Because then if I...
They don't want to hear what they want to hear.
Because then if I crap on them, you're going to say I hate the Rockets.
Is that our girl Sarah Barsha? On ESPN, yeah. Blowing up.
And she's going to be with us today.
She is joining us. Big time.
We appreciate that.
Damn right.
We get big time stars on this show.
That's what we do.
Yeah, no. Then you're going to...
We got Fart Sharara on the show as a big time star.
Just don't tweet him. You guys poo-poo on me and say I hate the Rockets if I take the low side.
No, I just want your honest opinion. I don't want
My honest opinion is 56.
Okay.
Which is what, 9 below what they won a year ago. West is better. Just doing this list for way back Wednesday LeBron. And looking at it, LeBron changes the dynamic. Minnesota's a really crazy situation because with Jimmy Butler, who's supposed to start the season with the Wolves, it's a pretty good roster. But when you trade him, in my estimation, the team goes to crap.
Yeah,
I don't care who you get back.
I know Carl Anthony Towns is a good scoring center, but I just...
It's kind of soft.
I don't believe in him. I don't know. He didn't show well in the playoffs.
Okay, take Carl Anthony Towns out of your last comment. Okay. Insert Andrew Wiggins, and I'll give you the exact same comment. Andrew Wiggins, I don't believe in.
Okay.
Got all the talent in the world, but it showed me, and Jimmy Butler called him out for it. No ticker, no drive, no heart. Well, I'm not disagreeing with that, but there are... Don't sleep on the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets are an up-and-coming team. But again, how much sleep will you lose looking at that lineup of teams in the West going, it's pretty easy to pick 10 that have a legitimate shot to at least get to the 8th seed?
I'll admit, when I got down to the bottom, it was like, oh, this could... It was similar in the East, but not at the same caliber. Because it was like, well, 6 through 10 in the East all suck.
They all suck.
Who's going to suck less to finish top 8?
Absolutely similar, but yet different. Like, you're right. In the West, it's all teams that are good to decent. In the East, it's all, God, this is all garbage.
Yeah, you're like, wow, what is the difference between some of these down here at 9 and 10 and 8?
So, right.
Yeah, all right. So we've got two of yours. Mm-hmm. I guess you're going to tweet the list out, right, Nick? So we can see, it'll have the song and the city so everyone can see what our picks are.
Yeah. When you guys do yours.
I've got two left.
Oh!
Well, I'll have it with the team. I think it'll be better if I just list the team and then the song. That way, because they'll kind of...
Yeah, like Warriors. Because
I'm trying to save characters on the tweet.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's that. Let's get to last night's game.
Do we have to?
I mean...
I think we just skip it.
Well, I was talking about the Dodgers and the Brewers. No, Cor. No, the Astros game, very disappointing. I think early on as I was racing to get over there, the first thing that came to my mind was everything that you and I talked about, because every one of my fears for the game 3 started to come true with Dallas Keuchel when he gave up 2. But
a slow starter. Yeah, he's always going to give up runs in the first couple of innings.
Dread the first inning with Dallas Keuchel, and I was hoping that that wouldn't be the case. It was, but the good news for Astros fans was once he got through that first inning, settled down nicely, was rolling through the fifth inning. There's a lot of people that believe that A.J. Hinch, and of course it's second guessing because of what happened with Joe Smith, but a lot of people thought he should have gone at least one more inning. What say you?
Well, obviously, in hindsight, Joe Smith wasn't the answer.
No.
But
I lobbied that this guy should be on the roster, and he goes and lays one up.
I wrote an article that said, basically, yeah. I mean, in the article, because A.J. Hinch, basically, the 25-man roster that he has now is the one I literally put verbatim. And at the end, it was decisions of Joe Smith, Will Harris, and Brad Peacock. And I said Joe Smith because of the playoff record.
Right, me too.
Yeah. And so... You hate to see that, but look, I mean, when you see what Osuna did, it wasn't a clean bullpen. It wasn't a clean outing for the bullpen
decision.
In general.
That's another one I was going to ask you about. But you go to Osuna there?
I think you're trying to get him some work and maybe keep the game close.
He hadn't pitched in a while. Fair point.
You're keeping the game close in the late innings. Maybe have some late inning magic like you almost did in Boston in game 2. Mm-hmm. So I could see why maybe you do that, because he could run back out there for another inning. You can go matchups. You can drop McCullers in there to get the final 3 outs if you needed to. I don't mind the decision to put Osuna in there. It's just a bad outcome. I mean, just a really bad outcome.
The hit by pitch, the first one, was just really a technicality, but it was true. It hit the back shoe of Brock Holt. So you put him on first base, and then inexplicably, he plunks Mitch Moreland.
Yeah, I don't.
And
I
I'm
don't,
going, come on, man, you were ahead in the count too. I don't know what you're doing.
It was a bad outing altogether, really.
Is there something to be said for what we talked about with Kenny G too, in the fact that when a closer isn't in a closing situation, something changes?
No. Because it's the playoffs.
It should be ratcheted up no matter what, right?
Yeah, I don't think it was anything different for him there. He just had a bad outing.
Until that point, you wouldn't have said he got touched up, but the home run that Jackie Bradley Jr. hit was a no-doubter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to describe or to pinpoint what happened other than these guys that have been reliable all year weren't reliable in this game, and that's going to happen, especially in the playoffs. When you look at the bullpen, I mean, look at, for example, think about guys like Andrew Miller and Cody Allen. They had rough outings. Trevor Bauer had a rough outing. Mm-hmm. Corey Kluber. So it's something is different in the playoffs for people, and sometimes they do well and sometimes they don't. They crap the bed, and the entire bullpen crapped the bed. I think Keuchel kept you in it, obviously. He kept it close. But also, the offense, I mean, for seven hits, it just seems so stagnant. There was very little life.
Look
in
where
that
they came
offense.
From, the top four slots. I mean, Bregman had 3 for 4, Altuve had 2, Springer had 1. So there's 6 right there.
Yeah. One thing I did like, so a couple things. Obviously, I thought Kemp played a great left field for considering, especially the catch against the wall.
Or was it?
That was outstanding. Yeah, it was a catch.
I thought so too, but boy, you get the people, the Boston fans on social media.
It hit through the glove.
Said that there was a mark on the scoreboard that you could see.
It went
ridiculous.
Into the glove. They're dumb. Alex Bregman.
Stepped up, man.
All world at third base.
Oh, isn't he though?
That dude put on a clinic how to play third base.
I hate his cockiness getting to the level of going to Instagram.
I know.
But I'll tell you this. You can't say he didn't back it up yesterday on both sides.
2 for 3. Picked everything.
Yes.
Even the error that he made where he bobbled the ball and stepped on it. He damn near got him with the throw. And I'm going, don't throw it. Don't throw it. And he threw a seed over there.
Yep.
And it was on point. I mean, it just Alex Bregman right now is just on a different level.
His plays on the move, off balance and in the air.
Smooth.
Unreal.
Reminds me of Correa a little bit because Correa is really good on the move.
It reminds me of his idol a little bit too. His just the throwing, jumping and throwing like Jeter.
Oh yeah,
the way he gets airborne and his balance is off, but he squares his shoulders and gets that ball over there. Like you said, throwing seeds. It's pretty special what he's doing over there.
One other thing that I really liked from the game was when Altuve bunted to get on base. He legged it out, and you could tell he was limping. You could tell he was in pain. But as soon as he gets to the bag, he's standing on first. He looks at the third base coach, and he makes the sign from basically, if there's a hit in the gap, send me. Don't hold me up because of my knee. Send me. Well, then it so happens that he gets to second base. Well, I think it was a pass ball. He moves over to second base. They show him again. He's looking at, what's his name, third base coach. And again.
Gary Pettis.
Yeah, he looks at Pettis and literally says he claps. You can see him say, come on. And then he shows him, don't hold me up on a base hit. Send me. That's what you, that's leadership. I mean, it was very subtle and most people probably didn't notice it, but it was great to see that Altuve, as hurt as he is, was still like, you know
Absolutely.
What? It doesn't matter. And to lay down a bunt with bad knees.
And
that's,
here,
that's
you're
leadership.
Right. And here's the problem though, because post game, he alluded to it again, that it is tough dealing with this thing. So I go back to what I said to you yesterday. One, it's worrisome because you hope that there's still a deep run left in this team and they're going to bounce back tonight and they're going to, you know, push this series to the brink and hopefully get a lot farther. But if it continues to linger and bother him, how big of an issue it's going to be? Because you're dealing with his knee and you're dealing with Correa's back. I don't think Springer's thumb is an issue right
but
now.
But I think all of these over the offseason get healed.
I hope so.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
But that's one thing. But are they going to linger this playoffs?
Oh, well, that's, yeah. I think there's nothing you can do about that now.
Because I don't think there's a shot or anything. Because you put anything into your knee, you're going to be shelved while you deal with the trauma of putting something into your knee.
Depending on what it is, yeah.
To shoot it up.
It could be.
So interesting stuff there. We can continue to talk about the Astros. Lots more to get to. Of course, a extra inning thriller that we were all up to see last night between the Dodgers
Who?
And the Brewers.
Missed that.
Yeah. And a lot more going on, including Sarah Barshop going to join us at 2:30 to talk a little Texans. So in the meantime and in between time, we have room for you. HR&P Lister Line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter as we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Good luck finding band. This thing was more work than it should have been for Way Back Wednesday. But I told Barry during the break.
Sing this song for me, Joel, since it's on your list.
I just like the violin, the and the screaming. Good luck finding bands from Oklahoma City, Salt Lake City, or Utah, and Denver.
Color Me Bad is from Oklahoma City.
Well, you found that out on a freaking.
I knew that.
You're full of
totally
crap.
Totally knew
too.
That. I've been a fan a long time. Portland was. I thought was going to be a little.
Portland's bad too.
Yeah, Portland didn't have a lot. I ended up going with Everclear, so that was good. Denver, not a lot of choices.
No.
Utah, no. Which we should have done Salt Lake City. That would have made it harder. But
I started there, and I was like, oh, screw that. I'm playing the technicality card here. It says Utah on the uniform. I ain't going to Salt Lake City.
San Antonio, not a lot of choices. I had to go with the Butthole Surfers from San Antonio.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So not a ton of choices for bands out of San Antonio.
That's what I'm looking for right now is San Antonio.
Yeah.
An artist from San Antonio.
I literally thought about leaving the Utah Jazz off my list because it was that painful trying to find an artist from Utah.
Well, I don't have the Lakers making the playoffs. So I was that sucks that I don't have them in the top eight to be able to pick an LA band because I could have gone Guns N' Roses or something like
Motley
that.
Motley Crue, there's lots.
Yeah, but no, I don't have them making the playoffs. I know. I don't think LeBron is surrounded by the right people. I just don't.
I completely agree with that.
This isn't the East.
But
you can't go out and get a bunch of cheap wins. You're gonna play the best of the best in the West the majority of the year.
But here's the thing. I agree with you to an extent, but to say that they're not gonna make the playoffs, watching that man single-handedly take that team last year to the finals
in the East
means and you're right. It's in a watered down East. I get it. But I think that there's enough to beat a lot of the opponents in the West with him and at least some of the useful pieces that they have.
The only one that I'm skeptical about on my list, and I might need to even switch them. I have the Nuggets at 7 and the Spurs at 8. And I thought, well, maybe the Nuggets aren't going to be as good as I thought. But they do have a lot of talent on that team.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs, I think, are actually better because they played a whole year without Kawhi. And now you're going to add DeMar DeRozan to a team that had a pretty good record, all things considered.
Yeah, but I left them off.
I know it's not a great team, but they still have LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah,
Patty
Gasol.
Mills. Patty Mills is the new Tony
Parker.
Parker.
Gasol.
And they've added DeMar DeRozan. So...
Here's the thing, though.
So then everybody, 6 and up, I don't think you argue. It's just what order do you have? Mm-hmm. Pelicans, Blazers, Thunder, Jazz, Rockets, Warriors. I think it's just how you put them in that six. But the only thing I could see is maybe the Spurs are the 7 seed and the Nuggets don't make it and the Lakers sneak in at 8. Maybe.
What you're talking about was the Spurs to me. The Spurs to me were a team that I left out. Simply because of the fact that, one, DeMar DeRozan, to me, has never been able to execute a system, offensively or defensively.
But he hasn't played for Pop.
And Pop is right, but it's going to take some time. And here's the other thing. Your first-round draft pick and the kid you're relying on heavily as DeJounte Murray, both out for at least 2 months. Those two guys who are going to be heavy rotation guys for you are going to be missing.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to be... The Spurs don't worry about the regular season. That's been Pop's MO all along.
You got to worry about it enough to get in.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about the 6, 7, and 8 seed, they're not. What was the 8 seed's record last year?
West was pretty good last year.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, like I said,
47-35. It was the T-Wolves.
47-35.
That's a pretty good record.
Pop can do that though with missing a guy for a month
or two.
I mean, hell, look what he did with nothing. He ended up at 47-35 without Kawhi Leonard. And basically, Manu and Tony were non-existent. I mean, it was LaMarcus Aldridge and some Patty Mills and a rookie. And that's it. I mean,
well, and Danny Green, who's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean, I look at the Lakers roster to say exactly what you just said about the Spurs and go, look, you got the best player on the planet, for one. You've got a more than serviceable Rajon Rondo, who was fantastic in the playoffs a year ago. You've got an up-and-coming active big man in Kyle Kuzma. You've got another up-and-coming guy like Brandon Ingram.
I feel like just yesterday you made the opposite arguments, though. You were telling me how they had nothing.
No,
you were like, you didn't believe in the Lakers at all.
I don't like them as a top four seed or a finalist in the Western Conference, but there's a huge difference between that and not making the playoffs at all. I don't think that LeBron alone will allow his team to not make the playoffs. He will them to at least the eighth seed.
We established that Rondo, Ball, and
can't shoot.
And yeah, one, can't shoot. You said Brandon Ingram's a scorer, not a shooter.
Right.
LeBron is going to be ball dominant. So what is Lonzo Ball's role in this offense if he can't shoot?
I hope he doesn't play.
And he's not distributing. Well, same thing with Rajon Rondo. Caldwell Pope's not bad. JaVale McGee is
awful.
Just defensive only. He's only in there to block shots and dunk the ball when LeBron James throws it to him. Brandon Ingram, I like Brandon Ingram. Kyle Kuzma's coming off the bench. Lance Stevenson means nothing to me. I don't know, man. I don't know that this – he doesn't have Kevin Love. There's no Kevin Love on this team for LeBron. And I know he was injured for a lot of the year, but there was still there was still somebody else that he could rely on to be a star caliber. That I don't think that exists on this team.
Where are you at?
I think you guys will be – I had him at five, honestly, just to put out there. Ooh, the Lakers.
Lakers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, when there's too many ball handlers, I think they learn to adjust to a certain extent. You know, if they just do less ball handling, it doesn't absolutely kill them if they don't have the ball. Sometimes it does. But my question, honestly, what am I missing about the Nuggets? What are the Nuggets, Joel, that they have that...
Well, Nick, I like their whole roster. I mean, the thing to me, when you look at it,
because a part of the reason why I'm asking is not to question you, is whether because
no,
a part of my struggle is who do I bounce out of the Western Conference Finals?
Not Nurkic.
I mean, of the playoffs.
You
did what I
Jokic,
do.
Yeah, Paul Millsap.
A healthy Millsap who was not there a year ago. But my guy who I just can't say enough good things about is Murray.
Jamal Murray.
I just think that kid can shoot it from anywhere from 40 feet in.
And there's an X factor on the Nuggets. They got Isaiah Thomas for nothing.
For a year that's got to prove
nothing.
He's got to prove himself.
Right.
And in those situations in the past, in Sacramento, in Phoenix, in Boston, he has stepped up huge. So that's a great point as well. Even if you don't get anything out of your number one draft pick in Michael Porter Jr., you've got a center that's better than average, probably one of the top five true centers in the league in Jokic. You've got a solid all-star four in Paul Millsap. So you got those two
Gary
already.
Gary Harris can shoot. I mean, he averaged almost 18
Gary
points
Harris
a game.
Gary Harris is a very, very solid player on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
Will Barton is a finisher on the break. And I've told you guys already about Murray. I think Murray's fantastic. So and then Isaiah Thomas. I think their first five or six,
yeah,
I think they're really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only team that I didn't really pay attention enough to. That would be one team that I felt most comfortable leaving out of the playoffs, out of the top eight. So that's the only reason why I asked, because I honestly didn't know. And Isaiah Thomas, you never know, because it's a year that it's obviously a year that he has to prove himself. He might do that. Like, he might be able to turn it around. He didn't really do anything when he got traded, but maybe with a new season, new start.
He was hurt. He was coming off that injury, and that was a big-time injury, so he wasn't right. But obviously, he's got a lot riding on this because he thought he was worth a max deal this last offseason, mm-hmm. and he got a huge reality check that he doesn't want to have another year of next year. So he's got to prove himself. The thing with San Antonio, just to wrap it up, though, Barry, is the one guy, and I don't want to poo-poo on him because I've already had this conversation back and forth with AJ. He was a top 25 scorer.
So you're basically saying you don't want me to argue with you.
No, you can't.
Just you want me to just like my wife does
me? I want your honest opinion. But what I'm saying is, what do you judge a top 25 player in this league on? Because if you look just strictly at scoring, DeMar DeRozan is a top 25 player in this league. But you look at everything else on the ledger, and you start going, doesn't rebound the ball a lot, doesn't get a lot of assists, doesn't like to give it up. And again, my whole thing that I've always knocked on the Raptors when they had Kyle Lowry with him is they're a great team for 3.5 quarters, but get them in execution down the stretch in the last 5 minutes of the game, and they're going to crap the bed because they don't know how to execute plays, and they don't want to. So you're right. I think that Pop will have a positive impact on him, but I think it's going to take time, and I think with the injuries and everything else, that was the one team I left out.
So you asked me a question, and the question was, what do you say is a top 25 player in the NBA?
Yep.
I think the first and foremost thing is scoring. Because when you talk about assists and you talk about rebounding, those are things that role players do as well. I mean, when you look at a guy like Patrick Beverley, his job was to play defense and distribute the ball. There's certain guys that will play a role.
Essentially, you're making the guys around you better.
Yeah, and you're doing the stuff that they don't have to focus on because they're an elite scorer.
Yep.
So if you're an elite scorer in the NBA, I think that elevates you amongst the other players. When you got a guy DeAndre Jordan. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say he's a top 25 player because he can't score. He doesn't shoot the ball. His shooting percentage is great.
He can score if he's got a good point guard.
Exactly. His shooting percentage is great, but then he needs that role player to make him look better. But what he does do well is block shots and play defense and run the floor. So he's good at those particular things, but that doesn't mean he's a top 25 player because he's good at those role-playing situations. So to me, yeah, if you can score in this league, if you can average 20 points a game, 25.
Nick, the X factor going Barry's way in all this too is just like we said, Isaiah Thomas has something to prove. DeMar DeRozan's got something to prove because he's pissed off he got traded, and he wants to prove that he shouldn't be the scapegoat. So that's one thing in the Spurs' favor.
One thing I've always said about DeMar is that this is the consistency factor, and I think hopefully Greg Popovich will be able to make him focus on what he's good at, what he's most consistent at, and that will make him kind of a systems guy, but maybe it'll make him a better player on paper, and maybe it'll help the Spurs at least go back to somewhere close to where they were when they had Kawhi.
It's also what I was thinking when I was making these picks, because, again, I have them 8. It's not like I have them finishing fourth in the West. Mm-hmm. I have them sneaking into the playoffs, just ahead of the Lakers, by the way. But I think Pop is the difference to me. When I look at LeBron and the role players that he has versus LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan and Pop, that's what it is, essentially. Is you're saying it's LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, and Greg Popovich versus Luke Walton and LeBron James.
But
I'll take those three.
Short of having fangs... The long in the tooth analogy works for those two guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see, because he wants to play up tempo, and I don't know if their legs are going to allow that. And Pop likes to play half court. So it's an interesting dilemma. Jeff, hang in there. You want to talk Lakers? We'll get you in next. We'll continue to kick it around. But speaking of the NBA, you know who opens up tonight? That's right. It's your Houston Rockets, and you should be there. And there's a lot of events going on for liftoff week that are going to continue all the way through the road game against the Lakers. Saturday night, there's a Sunday event. Check all the things going on by going on to Rockets.com. And while you're there, check out tickets for tonight's game, because the first 3,000 fans to get in the building get a James Harden MVP bobblehead presented by Toyota. He's got the shades on. He's got that kind of cow suit that he was wearing when he accepted the trophy. He's got the trophy in his hand. I mean, this is a thing that any fan or any bobblehead fan like Craig Larson would love. You should have this bobblehead. The only way you get it, first 3,000 people in the door, you got to be there. And if you want to get there early and have something to do until you get in to get your bobblehead, Budweiser Liftoff Party starts at 4:30 with music provided by The City, who's right from here in H-Town. Get there early to see everything going on. Get to the party out front. Get in and get your bobblehead, get your seat, and get ready to get your popcorn and see the Rockets run it back, because they're going to go for it again this year. And all you got to do is go to Rockets.com, and you can get your tickets. The Rockets running it back tonight. So H time, it's time to run as one once again.
Delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download.
Wait, I think I messed that up.
The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, did you guys hear? We are throwing a pub crawl party with, in association with, it's a Houston thing, this Saturday, October 20th. Your man Fred Fowler is the host and MC of this pub crawl. And my challenge to you is, can you get him drunk before the halfway mark? That's my challenge to you. Now, you got to be there in order to make that happen. But I have faith in you guys, and I think you can do it. And you're going to want to be a part of this no matter what. The pub crawl is, first of all, it's brought to you by Thrive Plus. Genius on their part and your part for using it, because it works. It's going to be a huge deal, man. Houstonians repping Houston sports while getting their drink on. That's how we do things down here in the H. There's 10 venues, 10 special venues hosting the pub crawl. And tickets, check this out. This is what, when you get a ticket, this is what you get. You get a limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone t-shirt. You get the pub crawl wristband. You get a cup and a koozie, Thrive Plus samples, and you get $3 drinks. That's insane. Now look, the prices are going up, and they're going to continue to go up until the pub crawl gets here. So my advice to you is, when I give you this website, log on, whether it's on your phone or on your laptop. If you're driving, pull over. Don't be silly. Pull over, but log on to this website and get your tickets now. And that website is htxpubcrawls.com. Don't forget the S. htxpubcrawls.com. You can get general or VIP tickets. They're going to go up, so you better get them now. All that stuff that I said, including the shirt, and you get to see if you can get Fred drunk before the halfway point. That sounds fun to me. I'm mad I'm out of town, because I would have probably gone.
And normally I would say that's a challenge, but Fred has been on this unbelievable run where he hasn't had a drink in a long time, as he's really kind of healthing it up even more. So he might be a little easy. He might be ripe for the picking.
In fact, my challenge to you is actually not to get him drunk. I want to vomit drunk. I want Fred throwing up drunk.
See.
No?
No.
I think that we can do it, though. I really... Look, if we can create Twitter accounts... on the fly, we can certainly
make... are going too far by that.
I know. I just said, guys, let it go. It was funny for the day. Don't wear it out. I mean, don't wear it out. But I think we can do this. We can make Fred vomit. That should be what it's called. The Make Fred Vomit Pub Crawl. Brought to you
It should be called Be Someone That Makes Fred Vomit.
There you go.
That would work. All right, so we got calls waiting. Jeff's been patiently holding. We were talking NBA before the break. Jeff wants to get in here and talk about LeBron's Lakers. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What up? Show.
Hey, I was talking to a guy the other day, and they was talking about the Lakers and what they're doing. I said, this looks so familiar to me, like the Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan, putting certain pieces in places, rebounding, and all the difference is, in this day and time, you need two or three big-time scorers. What y'all think about that?
It's a good point. I don't know that he has that. I mean, he's got some role players around him. He's got a lot of guys that can distribute the ball. But who's the second leading scorer on this team? Is it Brandon Ingram?
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah. Is that going to get it done?
He's not a big time scorer, but that's your second best option scoring the basketball is Brandon Ingram, because it's not Kyle Kuzma. And Kyle Kuzma is a double double every night waiting to happen, but that double double happens to be 10 and 10.
Right. What I think will open them up is the caliber of player that LeBron is. And the facilitator that he is with Rajon Rondo. And I think that would elevate some of them guys to be bigger scorers.
So it's a good point, Jeff, because here's the thing. Rondo's one of those guys that can make people around him better, because to Barry's point, most guys, when you start evaluating players, are worried about scoring. Rondo's one of those guys that knows he stays within his limitations, but boy, he puts you in a position. Not only does he give you the assist, but he makes it real easy for you to score. So I think that's going to help a guy like Michael Beasley. I think that's going to help a guy like Brandon Ingram. I think it's going to help a Kuzma, and that's a great good thing. But when you stack that roster up against the rest of the Western Conference, I think it's ludicrous to think they're a top four team right now.
I'm with you, especially on the top four part. I mean,
yeah, that's
again,
where I'm going. I think they get in, but I can't see them being the top four that a lot Vegas and others think they're a top four team. I just can't see it.
I'm working on something here. I wanted to see. What? So do you subscribe to what PER is in the NBA? It's like WAR,
right?
In baseball, which is wins above replacement in baseball, but PER is basically how effective a player is on the court, right? So just to give you an idea, LeBron James's PER
the best player in basketball's PER is 28.65. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give you some others on this team. Rajon Rondo is a 15-2. Lonzo Ball is a 12-5. Brandon Ingram is a 13-9. Caldwell Pope is a 13-2. Now, these aren't even half of what LeBron's is, right?
Right.
Kuzma's a 14-2. So he's reaching half. Beasley is a 17. That's the highest number. A guy that's going to be coming off the bench. Beasley has the highest PER, second to LeBron James on the Lakers. Just to give you an idea what he had in Cleveland, Kevin Love is a 22-4, and that was the second player on this team. So to Jeff's point, he doesn't have the guys around him just from the start. He doesn't have the kind of support that I think he needs. And I have a huge fan on the text line that said I was a dumbass, that it's LeBron. Also called me a bum-ass comedian, which is hilarious. But he says, no way he misses the playoffs, and then told me to piss off. No way. No way in the West, with guys that are half as good as he is and no one even close else on that team. The only way that I'll say that it would make me really reconsider is if they pull off a big blockbuster trade before the trade deadline. But I just don't see the pieces
that's the
around
X factor.
Him.
We talk about when Butler gets traded or if there's moves. But I think overall, when you look at that Lakers team.
And maybe I'm sleeping on the value of these guys as role players.
But here's just one thing to consider, because I hear what you're saying with the numbers. The only thing I would say to consider is a lot of the guys that you threw out there are young guys that are still getting better. They're making improvements from year to year. So you're going to see another upward spike for a Brandon Ingram. You're going to see, hopefully, an upward spike for Ball, but I don't know. You know, I think you're going to see a spike for Kyle Kuzma, because those guys are just second-year guys now. Coming off their first year, they learned a lot. They got stronger. Mm-hmm. They work. I mean, Ball has definitely been in the gym because he's gotten a lot thicker. But I don't know if that helps. He redid his shot, but like Nick and I were saying, first shot of the year was a complete straight air ball from three. So it'll be interesting to see. I hear everything you're saying, and I agree with it. But that's why I said not a top four team. But I think they can find a way, because of LeBron, to sneak in.
And by the way, Larry Nance Jr. on the Cavs was a 20.1.
That's high.
Yeah, he had guys around him
that helped him, too. Yeah.
So I just, but that's my concern.
Rondo adds 5 to everybody's score right there. That's my argument. All right.
Okay.
So we can continue to roll on that. That's the Way Back Wednesday theme as well. So I'm sure we'll get back to basketball. But Benny wants to get in here, chime in what we were talking about early on. That was the Astros, the loss last night, the game tonight. What's up, Benny?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Love the show. Favorite show on the station.
Thanks for that. We appreciate it.
I do have to say, man, I felt like my heart was ripped out, or more my guts were ripped out last night watching the game. I had flashbacks of Lidge and Billy Wagner and Osuna just becoming another Astros closer with his defining role that he will be mentally scarred. And I don't even know if they should put him back in for the rest of the series, kind of giving the Ken Giles treatment, I guess. But I came to a revelation, and I know I was late. I was late to the party on this one, but the writing was all over the wall. I feel like I should have seen it coming. Joe, you were a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Okay, so is it acceptable to use the phrase puckered up when it comes to pitching, especially with the two-strike situation, crowds cheering? You understand the phrase that I'm trying to get at, right?
I completely understand it, yes.
So both hit by pitches happened with two strikes, inopportune times, the worst, absolute worst situation. And what got me was that how could I have been surprised? I mean, Osuna has been proven to be somebody who just can't resist hitting people, let alone in the worst situations possible.
All right. That was a prevalent comment going around social media yesterday, too. So that no need for that. No place for it here, anywhere else. Just like any actions that occurred, no need for that, and no place for it either.
Be better, clones.
Yeah. Don't be a bum-ass comedian, okay?
Yeah, by the way, that person that called me, sir, that's listening, that called me a bum-ass comedian, it's LeBron. No way he misses the playoffs. God, listening to Barry's talk sports makes me want to throw up. I had to go to the deleted items to see that, by the way, because you're obviously somebody blocked you.
Yeah.
So you obviously suck.
People have to understand that when we block them, we don't see it unless we're looking through.
Digging through the deleted items.
Yeah. So that's kind of like crawling through the hot dumpster fire of life.
Yeah.
Sorry, your life sucks.
I just kind of like when when I said Bregman should be moved up to the two hole, and then a bunch of people on Facebook told me I was an idiot, and I saved it. I'm saving those. And God forbid the Lakers miss the playoffs. I have your full number. I'll call you. I will call your dumb ass.
From an ESPN number.
And tell you I told you.
From an ESPN number. Yeah. God, bro, you're a dumb ass.
I am. A bum-ass comedian.
1 hour in the books. 2 hours of fun and jocularity will still ensue as we get ready for hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.